Welcome to Career Tools. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, how to ask questions after you have an offer.
The questions that this cast answers are, what questions can I ask during an interview? What questions can I ask after an interview? And what questions can I ask after an offer?
And if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Happy 4th of July, Career Tools. As we celebrate independence, let's talk about your career freedom. For nearly two decades, Manager Tools has been your ally in professional growth, from entry level to executive roles. And now we're on the brink of something big. While we can't spill all the details yet, trust us, you'll want to be a part of this. And by becoming a Manager Tools licensee today, you're securing your spot for what's coming next. Imagine celebrating your own career independence with resources that evolve as you do. Join now, and you'll not only gain access to our current offerings, but also be first in line for the exciting changes ahead. This July 4th, declare your independence from career stagnation. Become a Manager Tools licensee, and let's spark some fireworks in your professional life.
There is a common theme that you see if you look for interviewing guidance out on the internet, which is where everybody looks for interviewing guidance now. You'll commonly see things written that say, interviewing is a two-way street, meaning that the candidate is interviewing the company as much as the company is interviewing the candidate, because the candidate wants to find out whether or not the company is somewhere they want to work. And that's common wisdom, and we disagree with it. If you think about it, if the interview is a two-way street and you ask a bunch of questions because you want to find out if the company is somewhere you want to work, and you spend the entire hour of your interview asking questions and decide that, yes, this company is somewhere you want to work, and the hiring manager hasn't asked you any questions about your job experience and where you've worked and all the things he wants to know, he has no idea whether he wants to hire you. So you don't get hired at this place you want to work. Like, that makes no sense. So it can't be a two-way street in that it's all one way. It has to be, the majority of an interview has to be that the interviewer is finding out about the candidate. And the more they find out about you, the more beneficial it is to you, right? Because you're giving them the information that convinces them to hire you. So thinking that it's a two-way street is just silly. And of course, most interviewers will leave 5 or 10 minutes at the end of an interview for you to ask questions. And then, of course, it makes sense for you to ask some questions then. And we have podcasts that recommend certain questions for that time. But that's the time that the interviewer has reserved for you to ask your questions. The rest of the interview is for them to ask you questions. And there's not nearly enough time in that 5 minutes for you to find out everything you want to know about the company before you accept an offer. So there's a point at which you do ask those questions, and that's after you get the offer.
So today, when we're talking about how to ask questions after you have an offer, we're going to cover not when you get the offer, and ask anything reasonable and professional. Also, stay alert for pushback.
So not when you get the offer means not in the same call as, or not in the same conversation as when you get the offer. Because if a hiring manager or HR call you, and we're going to assume that they call you, because we would hope that professional organizations have a verbal interaction with you in order to offer you a job, because that's the way it should be done. If they're doing it over email or IM or whatever, you can substitute. I don't like that, but if I use
that many people that do.
Yeah. If I use call, then you just have to substitute. But in that call is not the best time to ask all the detailed questions you want to know about the offer for a bunch of reasons. First of all, that call is already full of a bunch of information and a bunch of emotion, right? Mm-hmm. There's already a lot of information going on in your mind. The hiring manager is saying, we'd like to make you an offer. It's this much money and this job title, and you'd be starting then. And we're really excited about you doing this. and you're thinking, gosh, that was this much money above or below what I thought, and I don't know if I can start then, and there's this project that's going on, and I was really committed to finishing it, and I'm excited about this job, but there's this other one that I was interviewing for, and there's all this stuff going on in your head. And to add the cognitive process of, I need to ask this manager questions about the more details about what he's saying to me on top of what you're doing right now, you can't do it effectively. There's just too many things to think about all in one go.
Yeah. And with all that stuff going on in your brain, you don't really know what questions you're going to have until you've had some distance from that conversation. You're already thinking about a lot, so you don't have those questions ready to go. Or you might have questions, but maybe they're not as applicable at that moment, and it's not the best time to ask those. And we all have that situation in our lives where we've said yes to like a volunteer job, and then when we had time to think about it and really mull it over, we're like, why did we agree to that? Right? We're like, I actually have a completely different take on it once I'm able to process what I just said yes to. And that's the same with asking questions. You have to really know the information that you know and the information that you don't know. So you don't really have the questions ready to go or the best questions to really get the effective answers that you want. So when you're trying to think and talk at the same time, that's what happens. So give yourself just a minute.
Yeah. And you can prepare questions if you're expecting an offer, of course, but it's not sufficient because you don't know what the offer is going to be. You can guess what the offer is going to be, but it might be something different to what you're expecting. And you'll need specific questions for that offer in order to compare it to the requirements that you set out at the beginning of the process of searching for a job. And there is a podcast that describes when you're looking for a job, you're looking for a job according to the requirements you have for that job, for the job you want. You're not comparing jobs to each other because then you'll never find two jobs that are so similar that you can compare them. So if you compare them to a set of requirements, it's much easier to say, this job will work for me, this one won't. This one will work for me, this one won't. But each job offer will be different. And so you'll need a specific set of questions in order to see, does it match the things that I said I was looking for at the beginning of this process?
Yeah, and you'll really want that time so you can organize your thoughts in a way and in order to be able to have a methodical conversation rather than the just jumping around in between topics. And I know from personal experience that when you're not quite sure which words to say, we say a lot more words than we mean just to kind of fill the spaces, or we jump around and we're like, oh, actually, I mean this. And it comes off as very disorganized. And if this is one of your first conversations with your hiring manager, we want to make sure that they know who they are hiring, who they're offering to, can have those more organized conversations and you get more out of it. So it'll be much easier for you to understand your notes when there's some sort of organization to it, things that you can follow for later when you have to review all this information. And it also makes it easier for someone to answer your questions. If you're not jumping all over the place, if you have it them written down, ready to go, you'll ask them in a better way that you can get better answers for.
Yeah, it's hard to answer questions when someone is jumping around and you're not following their logic. It just makes it more difficult to answer the question because you're like, wait, I'm pulling from this part of my mind and then this part, and like, how does that relate to that? And if you're thinking about how things relate to each other and you're wondering, you're not thinking about the answer you're giving them.
Yeah.
The last part of this is that you also want to make sure you're having the conversation with the right person. If your question is about the projects that you're going to work on, then you don't want to be asking those questions of HR, because HR probably doesn't know, and you want to know from the hiring manager. And equally, if there's some part of the health insurance plan that's really important to you because of your family circumstances, the hiring manager probably isn't the right person to answer those questions for you, because they'll know broad strokes what the health insurance plan is, and they probably know the important things to them because of their family circumstances, but they don't know it inside out and they can't get the answers for you. So you probably want to have that conversation with HR. So it depends what your questions are. And it may end up that you end up having two or three conversations with different people to get all your questions answered before you can make a decision.
Yeah. And we really hope that this is someone calling you, not an email, not through text. We'll probably say, do you have any questions? Because that's a reasonable thing to ask in a conversation, that after the offer, there's like, oh, do you have any questions? And what they really do mean is, do you have any questions about the meaning of what's been said? Like in this conversation, this small context, not your broad questions about everything overall. Or, I mean, more specifically, if it's written here, if they have sent you an email, do you have any questions about that specific information? So if you do have more global questions about questions within the role, the company, and so on, you want to make sure that you have these conversations, ask these questions in a more timely environment, dare I say.
So if you are asked, do you have any questions? You can reply with something like, I am sure I will have a lot of questions, but right now I just want to say thank you for the offer. I'm thrilled that you've given me an offer. You've supplied me with a lot of information and I don't want to waste our time while I think about what questions I have. May I call you tomorrow at 9 a.m. when I have a more organized list? Something like that in your own words. Make sure you say thank you for the offer and that you're happy that they've offered you and that you want to have some time to make a list of the questions. Like, you want to warn them that you are going to have some questions and you want to come back at a later time. So it's a kind of three-pronged message. Thank you. I'm going to have some questions. I'm going to come back with them later.
And you could also offer to email these questions, but know that you're not going to get the same quality of answers that you would get if you have it in a conversation by phone, Zoom, or even in person. Since this conversation represents at least 40 hours a week for the next 2 years of your life, it seems worth it to make it a person-to-person conversation, not just a list via email.
Yes. So what can you ask about? And the answer is anything reasonable and professional. And there is a long list of things that you could ask about. So we're going to go back and forth with the list and we'll elucidate about some of them and not others, just to give you some examples. And then some of them we won't elucidate about because we'll think they're obvious. Otherwise, this podcast would be about 5 years long. So obviously, benefits details. More about your role. So if the hiring manager has mentioned certain projects or certain customers you might be working with or certain geographies you might be working with, you might want to ask something more specific about that. Like, you mentioned that there's some big projects coming up. Can you tell me more about those? I'm interested in knowing whether I'll be able to use my skills in X, Y, and Z on them. Because maybe it's your career plan to develop those skills in X, Y, and Z, and therefore this is a reasonable question. It's not a reasonable question if you're just trying to find out what the projects are. Like, these questions are not for you just to find out information for the sake of finding out information, because otherwise you're wasting the hiring manager's time and yours, essentially. These questions are for the purpose of deciding whether or not to accept the offer. So the question should have a bearing, or the answer to the question should have a bearing on whether or not you accept the offer. Mm-hmm. You could ask more about your team. So it particularly if you're a manager and you're taking a team, like maybe you've only been told there's a team of 10 people. Some of them are in this location and some of them are in this location. Maybe you want to know how many are in each location, what's normal about how often they're visited, are they in an office or are they working at home, something like that. You might want to know more information about your colleagues. How many peers do I have? Like, how many are there at my level? How many directs do they have? Just to get an idea of this, the concept of the size of this part of the organization. And again, that would only be relevant if it has a bearing on your offer, because maybe you are taking a job, you want to take a job that increases the size of the projects that you are taking on, and therefore you want the teams to be of a certain size so that you know that the projects are bigger than you've already taken on. So you've only had a team of five. And so projects have always been five people teamed size. And now you're thinking, I want to take on bigger projects. So you want to know that the average team size in this part of the organization is 10 people, because then you'll know that the projects are average 10 people sized. If that doesn't matter to you, then don't ask the question, because it doesn't matter, right?
Right. And to Wendy's point, we could list a lot of things here, but some other things to think about would be training and development opportunities, because that comes into play of where are you in your career, mm-hmm. right? Is that a bigger deal? If you're more junior and you need to have more training and more development going forward to be successful, that might be something that plays a role in deciding to go with this company or not. And that's the same with career advancement. If you're towards the end of your career, what does that look like compared to the beginning? And is this a good fit for you? So depending on those opportunities, some of us want to know more about the company culture and the events that they hold. And does that align with our take and what we're working towards? Because if you have to work for common goals with this organization, you want to make sure that they're aligned. So those are things that could play a role in your decision.
And for some people, company events are really important. And for some people, they're the worst thing in the world. So whether or not the company has events might be really important to you, and therefore you want to ask about them. If it doesn't matter to you one way or another, then again, if it doesn't have a bearing, then don't ask the question.
Yeah, some of us love those Saturday picnics and some of us don't.
As Wendy rolls her eyes. And let's go fast through some of the others. So there's team's goals for the year. So like sales people particularly have goals for the year. Corporate performance, history of bonuses being paid, hybrid office arrangements, the company mission and values. Values particularly are very important to some people and not to others. And they're very important in some companies and not in others. Performance review processes. In some places, those play an outsized role in how many people keep their job at the end of the year. And in some places, mm-hmm. they might as well not exist. It depends on how important that is to you. Work-life balance initiatives, health and wellness programs, diversity and inclusion efforts. All of those things, again, are very important to some people and not at all important to others, and very important in some companies and not at all important in others. And it's a question of how important is that to me and how important is it to the company? And I would say that diversity and inclusion, just taking that one for a moment, you would say it should be equally important in every company, which is true. And it should be equally important to everyone, which is also true. And it's not, like, just realistically. And so knowing where you stand can stop the heartache later. Right. If you join a company knowing that diversity is not at all important to you and that it's the kind of environment where they don't take such things seriously and you do, you are likely to have a miserable 2 years working there.
Yeah.
You can still choose to do that, but you might as well go in with your eyes wide open. Or you can choose not to work there and work somewhere else where that thing that's really important to you is important to them too.
And just to continue kind of down the list quickly of other things that you could consider, IT and the equipment support, if you're working remotely or hybrid and you're not good with tech, I'm pointing to myself right now. It's good to know if you have extra support.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. Stock investments. What the remote work policies are, what the travel policies are, expense reimbursement and those procedures, safety and emergency protocols, employee assistant programs, mentorships and coaching opportunities, company's long-term vision and strategy, recognition and reward programs. You also might want to know about employee feedback and suggestion processes. If you're the type of person that thrives on feedback, is it an organization that gives a lot of it? And how does that look? Or if you want to give a lot of feedback, if you're going into a managerial role, which we highly suggest that you do give feedback, what does that process look like? And I mean, that differs from organization to organization. So that might be a question.
Yeah. And if you're the kind of person who likes to initiate change, again, some companies move fast and change a lot, and some companies move really slowly and change hardly at all. I once worked for local government, and my manager came to me one afternoon and said, "We're thinking about having a plan and about moving some of the people around in the office, and it would mean that you would move your desk from here to over there." And it was like 10 feet away. "So you would have to move from here to over there." And I went, "Okay, when do you want me to move?" And she went, "Oh, no, not now. It would be in about 2 weeks when we've talked to everybody." And I was like, okay. Like, they moved at a glacial pace. And I was like, and she had to go round the office and ask everyone that they were okay with the plan. And that was part, it wasn't even that it was her, that she was a higher, so she had to ask everyone. It was part of the planning process of moving people in that local government. So if you are the type of person who likes to initiate change and have it done immediately, it was the wrong place for you.
Yeah.
Where are we? Community involvement and CSR activities, environmental sustainability initiatives. Again, that's something that some companies are really into and really promoting their initiatives. Some companies are only doing what they have to do. And if you want to be in a company where they're doing absolutely everything they can, then you don't want to be in a company where they're just doing what they have to do, because you'll just be miserable. Company policies and procedures, retirement and savings plan. Again, that's an age thing, or if you're younger, you probably don't care as much, although you should, because the earlier you start, the easier it is.
15 years ago, I wish someone would have emphasized that.
Yes, exactly. legal and compliance guidelines. That makes me think of Enron. Like, it would have been so much better if somebody had been stricter on legal and compliance. Employee discount and perks. Oh, everybody who works for airlines thinks they get free flights. You don't get free flights. Not anymore.
No, much harder to fly standby with employee benefits. You can also ask about communication channels and tools. Like, how do you talk? This is a bigger deal, whether you're in person or remote. That can impact the expectations too.
Mm-hmm.
Internal mobility and job rotation opportunities. Again, depending where you're at in your career. Onboarding processes for the new hires. What's going to happen next? Details on project management tools and methodologies. Information on company-wide initiatives and projects. And departmental overviews and functions.
That was a long list. And there's probably more we haven't thought of. As we tried to emphasize as we were going through, it's unlikely that all of these are important to you. And it's even more unlikely that all of them are equally important to you. So when you start to make your list of questions, consider what's most important to me. And you start at the top of the list, right? You start with the most important questions, the things that are most important to you about whether or not you take this job. Because if you don't want to start with the smaller things, right? You don't want to build up. And then the hiring manager says, after 2 hours of asking questions, "Well, I think that's enough now." And you don't get your most important question answered. That's one way, one reason not to start with the least important thing.
Yeah. And the most important things might impact even having to ask more questions later.
Right.
Save yourself some more time. If your big priority is a big no, then you're like, well, do I need to have any longer conversation? Yeah, or
that's a really good point.
Let's be thankful that we have the freedom of choice to be whatever kind of manager we choose. And if you can choose, why not be the manager of strong ethics and integrity, who gets results and has professionals who want to work for them? Learn how. Learn how to enjoy the freedom of being a great manager. Visit us online at manager-tools.com or just send us an email to customerservice@manager-tools.com, and we'll give you information about how you can help yourself and your organization truly become great leaders.
Lastly, we're going to talk about that you need to stay alert for pushback. So you may get pushback from the hiring manager and or the HR person based on the number or types of questions you're asking.
If you ask what the hiring manager or HR think of as too many questions or too many questions about a particular subject, they may push back on you. And we'll talk about what those specific too many's are in a second. But if you do get that kind of pushback or you get the sense that they're running out of patience with you, you can legitimately say, I want to make the best decision possible and I'm trying to compare apples to apples where I can. So I need this piece of information because I have this piece of information about another job and I'm trying to compare those two. So you do have not a right because it's not a right, but you do. There is a legitimate reason for you to ask those questions. And that's why we emphasized before, it's good to have thought through why that question is important to decide whether or not you take that job. Because then you really do have a legitimate reason for asking that question. And you can say that with confidence that you're being honest. And that way you'll probably quell the pushback straight away. So some reasons why you might get some pushback.
So we know that you have legitimate questions that you want to ask, and it's to maybe help you compare, you know, the apples to apples. But know that when you take more than an hour to ask questions and it covers a wide range of areas, the hiring manager could also legitimately assume that you have difficulty making decisions without a great deal of information. And that may cause him to have concerns about the offer that he just made.
Right. Remember, the conversation you're having is sending a message as well. So there's one part of this, which is the patience level of the hiring manager. There's one part of this, which is, why is this person asking about so many things? What, how are so many things important to them? And there's the other one that is, why can't this person make a decision with less information than this? And is this person going to get into this job and want this much information about every decision I ask them to make? Another one. If all your questions are what's in it for me questions, so they're all about salary, benefits, bonus, performance reviews, all of the things, vacation days, that too sends a message. And somebody might legitimately think that you're not interested in serving the customers in the way that you said you were in the interview, that actually you're only interested in this role because of the things it brings you. And the problem with this is that though you have an offer and you can accept it, it can be rescinded, which means the company can take it back. And they are sometimes taken back. And sometimes it's because of reasons like these that the hiring manager or HR or somebody else sees something after they've made the offer that makes them think, that person is not the person I saw in the interview. So although you have a reason for asking all these questions, you also have to think what message that conversation sends and whether you really need to ask that question versus whether or not that's sending a negative message.
Yeah. So again, be careful with that message that you send. What do you want it to be? Because it's a big one, and it's a very sensitive time between offer and acceptance, both parties involved, right? The organization knows it. You know it. So even though you have all the reasons that you want to get answers to these questions, know that your hiring manager probably can't answer them all, or HR can get you the information. However, no matter how many answers you get in this moment, that everything could change tomorrow. Unfortunately, no one can see what is going to happen in the future. Not the manager that's hiring you. They might have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. So even though you have all the answers today, might not mean much tomorrow because there can be a reorganization, a new pension start to the company, more software or different software being implemented. But these changes happen daily. So what we know now is not necessarily what we know for tomorrow.
So you could feel like, I've asked all of my questions, I'm on completely firm footing and I'm going to start in 2 weeks, and you start on the Monday of 2 weeks from now and everything's changed, because that's what happens. So in some respects, having the answers to every question you ask is kind of not worthless because the big questions will stay the same, but the nitty-gritty detail often is shifting sand. So after an offer, you can ask anything you like. You have all the power, but use it wisely. Use it for the things that you really care about, because the questions you ask also send a message back to the hiring manager. And what they say is, you with great power comes great responsibility. And always remember that offers can be rescinded. Well, that was a negative part to end on, but congratulations on getting the offer and listening to this podcast. Yes. Thanks, Amanda.
All right. Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.